Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
We all know that feeling of frustration as the anger boils and you just want to scream into the face of your misbehaving child. You've tried to give them a timeout and they just will not sit in that chair facing the wall, or they will not stay in the corner, or they will not stay wherever it is you're telling them to stay. And yelling doesn't seem to even get through. They look blankly at you. What do you do? You don't want to hit your kids, so what do you do? How do you keep from freaking out on them? My guest is Dr. Kathleen Birchelman. She's a pediatrician at St. Louis Children's Hospital and assistant professor of pediatrics at Washington University School of Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Birchelman. What is a parent to do?
Melanie, thank you so much for having me back. You know, I have faced this reality myself. I have 5 children under 10, and I know that feeling. You know, I got an email from a colleague. She said, my child laughs in my face when I give him time out. If you don't yell and you don't spank, what you do? And I thought, I have been there and done that. And actually, what I did at a certain point is I went and I interviewed every parent of a well-behaving child that I knew. Anybody I could find, like, you know, if at my kid's school or any place. There was a family of 6, and I watched these 6 kids all pack their own backpacks and file into their van and drop themselves in. And I went, and I interviewed that mom, and I interviewed lots of moms. And I got a whole bunch of pointers, and I'm putting them all, together for you here.
Okay, so start in on them.
The first is spanking and yelling just don't work. We know this. 94% of parents spank their kids, and it's because you get an initial change in behavior. So it might seem like it worked for a minute, but you did not teach your child appropriate behavior and force them to think about the consequences of their actions. So, you know, there's a professor, Joan Luby, at Washington University, and she actually did a research study of kids who were put in a very stressful situation with their parents. And the parents who had really negative attitudes in yelling, their kids actually had smaller hippocampuses in their brain. And the parents who used positive parenting to get their child through that stressful situation, those children had better physical brain development on MRI. It was an incredible study. So we know that positive parenting is the way to go. So the first tip I have is to be attuned to your children. That means being attuned to your children means putting yourself in your child's shoes and then guiding them with the wisdom of a parent. So recognizing what is their problem in their eyes and trying to guide them with wisdom rather than just having a rote response. If you did X, you're getting Y consequence. Because then the child often feels misunderstood or ignored. Number 2, intervene early. So right when your kids start to get rowdy or start, you know, misbehaving or doing something that's sort of against the rule, they're starting to cross that line, that's when you want to break it up, not after they've actually crossed the line. So number 2 was intervene early. Number 3, redirect a lot. So this is, you know, redirect 100 times. As soon as they start to cross that line, you're going to give them a new idea of something very nice to do that would be a much better idea. Number 4, set very clear expectations. Melanie, in our house, we have the Birchelman 10 Commandments. So we're the Birchelman family, and we have the Birchelman Commandments. And we actually go through them every morning. Or right after breakfast, we have something called morning meeting, and we talk about the schedule for the day. And one of the things we go over are the Birchelman 10 Commandments. And we don't go through them all every day. Sometimes we just talk about one, or we have kids pick which one they're going to work on that day. And it's our family rule, so that it's very clear to them when they have crossed that line. Number 5, label behavior. So I got this one from Sesame Street. You know, there's this great scene where Cookie Monster is accused of stealing cookies. And he says, you know, I didn't steal the cookies, but nobody believes him. And he says, finally, Cookie gets all upset. And he says, me glutton, not liar. And that's when I realized, look, if Sesame Street can use words like gluttony, big words, to label behavior, well, so can I. And so we started labeling all kinds of behavior, jealousy, gluttony, lack of kindness, and so we use both the negative word like jealousy, and then the opposite kind word like being a servant or sharing. And we use these big words again and again and put them in kids' vocabulary so that they can start to understand their own behavior. Number six here is get a chore chart. And your chore chart should be a behavior and a chore chart. So your kids have everyday check marks of their daily obligations. And some of those obligations are going to include problem behaviors, such as, you know, not fighting with your sister or doing your chores with a good attitude. And there's a great chore chart I love online. We use an iPad app called Chore Chart HD, and there are many of them available. Some of them are free. I did pay for Chore Chart HD. Number seven, be on the same page with other child care providers. So if your child goes to a school or a daycare setting, if they go to grandma's house for babysitting, if you are a separate or divorced or single parent and there's a child switching households, you've got to be on the same page with other child care providers, especially about those expectations, those setting clear expectations. And it's a good idea to even maybe adopt some of your school's systems into your family home. If they get, you know, rewards for certain behaviors, we'll start giving those rewards at home too. Number eight, express love with both words and touch. And I can't emphasize enough the need for loving touch. That children need to be touched and hugged every day, even as they get older. I think this is especially forgotten with older boys. At a certain point, dads especially might stop really touching and hugging their boys. If you do not love your children with loving touch, they are going to find someone who will give them loving touch, and it may not be in the manner that's best for them.
Now, Dr. Bertelman, I want to stop you for one second. I want to stop you here because...
Sure.
When you're speaking about touching, and I so agree, and my son is 14 today, and I still hug him, scratch his back at night. I know people are horrified, but I mean, I still, we hug and we cuddle, and I still want to keep doing that. But when your child is throwing a tantrum and they're in the throes of this, your toddler, your 8-year-old, your 6-year-old, you don't want to touch them. You don't want to hug them. You want to do anything but that. So what do you want to say to parents that are feeling like there's no way I want to touch that screaming child? But sometimes that hug is what can calm them down.
You know, this is where the negative consequences, and this is my number nine thing. So number eight is praise effort, not outcome, that you want to pray. There's a great New York Times article about called How Not to Talk to Your Kids. I recommend it highly. But it's about praising effort, not outcome in children, because when you raise outcome, you can raise the bar too high. But finally, and you have to, you know, incorporate all of these things into your daily parenting. But finally, when you're in the throes of that tantrum, this is where you want to use your positive parenting consequences. So they should be clearly defined already. Most of the time. So, like, we use a lot of timeouts, and if you don't go to timeout, you get more minutes of timeout for little kids. Older kids write a lot of essays, and we use a lot of natural consequences, too. So you might have to write a letter of apology to your sister, or you may have to fix something that you've broken or buy something that you've broken. And especially if I have a very angry child that's being very physical with their anger, I often use a very physical consequence, such as yard work, because I think that could be very therapeutic. There are times when I just literally make my kids walk around the subdivision three times just to get that anger out. And sometimes you may need to use a delayed consequence. So especially with an older child.
Well, we're out of time. And Dr. Bertelman, really great advice, and I want to encourage parents to, you know, listen again to this podcast. And you can also go to Children's MD, where she's got a great blog, and you can read about all of these things that Dr. Bertelman has been discussing, because really it's great information. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Stay well.